Fear not what you do not know. Fear only what you know to be true. As a biological scientist, I'm drawn to animals that others feel are safer to ignore. As an adventurer, I'm drawn to places that others feel it is safer not to go. As a human being, I challenge my body to do things that others view as extreme. As a person, I constantly find myself standing a little bit closer to the edge. It is the only way I can truly see what's out there. My name is Dr. Mitch Lederman, and this is a little podcast called Bike Club. Why Bike Club? Well, personally, I've spent most of my life working with the least loved fauna of Australia, the dangerous ones, and that has implications. More generally, Bike Club is a bit of a metaphor for a life lived where one does things a little bit differently and life bites back. Maybe you can relate to that. A while back, I was driving down a road in one of Perth in Western Australia, Perth's less salubrious suburbs. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw some dumbass knuckle-dragging Neanderthal right up in the face of a very frightened young woman. This was a major intersection in broad daylight, while the drivers and passengers of 10 or more vehicles sat idly by less than 10 metres away trying hard to ignore what was going on right beside them. I, on the other hand, was flogging my way down the street and through the green light. But for the little I saw, I knew this girl was in a world of trouble. Now, I'm not a big guy, and I'm certainly not a tough guy, but I'm not the type to turn a blind eye to something that's clearly very wrong. Or am I? As I got past the lights, I pulled over, and it took me at least 5 minutes to muster the courage to go back. Why did it take so long? It shouldn't have. All I could think about was not this poor girl, but my family and how a great many good Samaritans come off second best in a situation such as this. What if he had a knife? What if he was an ice freak without a conscience? Nevertheless, I swung the car around and I raced back to the intersection. And in all that time, which would have been a lifetime in this girl's situation, still no one had intervened. Fortunately, I arrived to see the woman dash across the road towards a waiting car parked haphazardly, half on the verge, half on the road. Clearly, this was a friend she must have managed to call before being accosted by this yobbo. As she struggled to get in the vehicle, he was forcefully closing the door on her. She succeeded in her plight and they sped off, with him in foot pursuit, launching a tirade of abuse. What a pathetic embarrassment to all who carry the Y chromosome. Providing she never sees him again, she's most likely gotten away with just post-traumatic stress and an emergent case of agoraphobia. Me, on the other hand, I was left wondering how much worse it could have been for her and how I never should have hesitated, not for a second. Ask yourself this question. Is the inclination to preserve oneself so much more important than the safety of others? I don't think it is. I recall a few years back I stopped on the side of the road to discipline a teenager for throwing bottles at cars. This was during a period in Perth where missiles hurled at cars were causing serious injuries and regularly making headlines on the 6 o'clock news. Within minutes I was on my iPhone to the police staring at this kid as he stood in front of me wielding a cricket bat. On that occasion I was the victim and not one of the 100 passers-by stopped to offer any assistance. So maybe the inclination to preserve oneself is so much more important than the safety of others. At this point in my life, I'm still unsure whether I should put myself at risk to assist those in need, or should I simply lower my brow and shuffle past everyday conflicts? I faced this dilemma again only recently. About 30 kilometres shy of Kununurra in the far northwest of Western Australia, on the way to the airport with plenty of time up my sleeve, I passed by a man clearly stranded on the side of the road. My first thought was that he looked a bit rough and just a little too menacing for my liking, so I kept driving, safe in the knowledge that some other good Samaritan would render him assistance. And then I stopped. I swung the car around and I went to his aid. He had one flat tire on the vehicle and his spare was also knackered. Oddly, he immediately became insistent that he had cash and he could buy one of my spares, pointing out that I had three and did not need them all. He neglected to accept that I was driving a hire car and that I was not at liberty to sell this hire car's spare wheel on the side of the highway to a stranger. Oddly still, he had a Nissan Navara with a REM specification completely different to my Toyota Hilux. Now, this guy looked well and truly bush savvy. Savvy enough to know that my Toyota rim was not going to fit his Nissan. But still, he persisted. And boy, did he persist. I remember frantically fidgeting around trying to find the lock for the door. The window was open, but at least I felt a little bit secure because I was in a Hilux four-wheel drive, quite elevated off the ground. But there was little I could do for him, other than to offer to take him into town. But he even refused this, which was really curious because town was only 15 minutes away. It's not like he was going to leave his car out in the middle of nowhere. In the end, I agreed to call a mechanic when I got to town and request that they, on good faith, go out there and that he would still be there. I made the call, the mechanic didn't answer. I even called the police to see if they would help, but they were not able to. Is he still on the side of the road? I doubt it. Had I got out of the car to help him, would I now be on the side of the road, lifeless, in a ditch, leaving my kids without a father and my wife without a husband? Neither you or I are ever going to know. Well, thank you for listening to Bike Club. Thank you for lending me your ears and giving me some of your headspace. I hope you enjoyed the story, and I'll chat to you next time. Bye for now.